Hey, everybody. Welcome to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush. One of the coolest things about hosting this podcast is that I get to meet lots of interesting people and I get to learn from them. And if you follow me on LinkedIn, occasionally you'll see where I'll post something like, hey, who's your favorite voice in ESG? Who's your favorite talker about maritime? This next guest actually came the same way. I was kind of looking around thinking, and now I know it's a couple of days after Earth Day, so happy belated Earth Day. But here on Hammer Down, we believe every day is Earth Day. So I posted out and said, who is your favorite voice or who's the most interesting person when it comes to ESG? And immediately my replies filled up with the same name and a lot of people liking the same name. So I'm delighted to welcome Gina Panayoto to the show. Gina is the founder of the World ESG Forum. She's an ambassador to the Sea Trade Maritime. She's a consultant to the World Ocean Council. She is the founder of Oceans Arena, and she is a guest here on Hammer Down. Gina, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mike. It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm super excited to be joining the Hammer Down conversations. And even more so, it's lovely to have been recommended and volunteered to be here by fellow colleagues in the industry. It means we're making waves in the right direction.
Absolutely. So you said making waves. Was that a maritime pun to start out?
Yeah, probably. I think we get caught up in the maritime language.
Love it. Terrific. Yeah. So Gina, that was a lot of titles and a lot of organizations. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
So I've been now in the overall maritime industry for 11 plus years. Started out as a maritime lawyer. Was super blessed to start my career in-house, a shipowning organization. So I kind of got into the core of industry. That's why I said I'm blessed, seeing the reality of it. Super fascinating. I've transitioned fully into ESG over the past 6 years because my focus has always been environmental policy, compliance, and that part of things. And I've also been quite a big advocate on things like gender equality, youth empowerment, and of course, seafarer well-being, and things like that. So it was a natural transition. And as you rightly said, I'm the founder and CEO of an ESG consultancy called Oceans Arena, where we help companies lay out their ESG strategies, position themselves in the market as an ESG leader. And my recent baby is the World ESG Forum, which is a newly established non-for-profit think tank for cross-collaboration on ESG and simplifying the overall concept for maritime and beyond, so through supply chains, ports, communities, and the rest.
Okay, that was a lot to take in. So when a steamship line, for instance, we'll stick to maritime here, when a steamship line says, we're going to be carbon neutral by 2040, 2050, are you kind of in the background helping those commitments, you know, one, be created, but two, become actionable and real? Is that how I should think about your role?
Well, ideally, and I hope they bring me in before they make out loud commitments to the world, because that's quite important, especially with new regulations on greenwashing, which you might have heard. Obviously, you know, being quite careful on what you're committing to. And, you know, carbon offsetting strategies really don't cut the mark anymore. So yes, to answer your question, I would be there in the background supporting organizations to find what their priorities are, what their scope of influence is. Set those targets realistically, being able to deliver and kind of do the reporting and monitoring through the process and also their key messaging.
Got it. So as you've gone on this route and as you've kind of taken on this, gosh, I don't even know how champion or advocate of all things good type of role, you know, what have been some of the most interesting things you've learned along the way?
Some of the most interesting things, quite a few, actually. So the first thing I've seen, and that's probably what led to the think tank today, is that there's a lot of lack of awareness on what exactly ESG is and how it can, you know, help the maritime industry. I've heard crazy things, like people have told me, it's fine, we do it great because we give money to charities every year. Or we take care of our employees because we've got a bicycle program for them. And yeah, I really heard very random stuff and people who genuinely feel that they're, you know, they're doing something because, and that's all good. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just, I think what I've learned is that there's a great lack of awareness. people also, when they see this trend and this new buzzword, a lot of people come in, the newly founded experts, as I call them, who want to overcomplicate things to make sure that they're making as much money as they can out of it. So that's something also that I found. And the best thing I think that I've learned throughout my journey, and this is also applied to ESG, is the maritime and wider supply chain in our industry is quite complex, right? And people are there to do the very practical things and deliver day in, day out. We've got no, really, it's a 24-hour industry. So when you're asking them to come on board with something like ESG, you need to make their life simple, right? You need to be there to support, simplify, help implement, not complicate, not add a burden. So I think that's kind of what I learned along the way. That's what your role needs to be through this process to make it a success.
Who do you look at in the maritime world that's doing really great? You know, lots of companies have their we're going to be carbon neutral by such and such a date, or we're going to cut emissions by X percent. Who do you hold as sort of the gold standard, the company that we in supply chain should look to and say, yeah, we should be following their footsteps?
This is a tricky one. I was actually having a similar conversation this morning, and I kind of refrain from naming companies because unless you've like directly worked with them and seen their day-to-day operations, you can't really know how exceptional they are. What I said, maybe not so much supply chain, but a very good example of a good sustainability practices and sustainability communications on ESG is DP World, I think they've been doing quite a good job for many years. You can see all of their messaging, the way that, you know, they work with communities in which they operate. It's quite a good example. And then if we're looking more at a case study, it's a slightly outside maritime, but you know, Ørsted, you might have heard of them. So they were oil and gas company who completely transitioned and made a bold step into wind energy. So it was a complete transformation, a very bold step, but they've made that case study quite a big success actually on how you can go in the green direction quite boldly and still be successful as a business model.
Thinking about the think tank, what, you know, who are you looking to have participate if you could have like your perfect wish list of X types of companies joining and really supporting and getting behind the initiative you're pushing? Who's your perfect target to join you?
So I think my aim with this and the gap that I found is that I would like to have people from all stakeholders of this industry. So from supply chain, from ports, from owning, from managers, from associations who lobby for policy in this respect, and beyond actually just maritime, so maybe the wider transport chain of things, even aviation, because I think what we do a lot as an industry, especially when it's something new, we try to work in silos a bit and try to do things ourselves and figure things out ourselves. And this is an exercise with ESG that unless we all come together, understand what our individual barriers are, and, you know, actually simplify that process, it's not going to work. Because I say this before, so the magic of this industry is that we're so diverse. There's so many stakeholders, which makes it very challenging, for example, to decarbonize. Fair enough. But on the other hand, imagine if all of these various stakeholders that, you know, sell seas, are on land, are on communities, got ESG 50% right. Imagine the impact we could have on the world. So my ideal dream and wish list, coming back to what you asked, is to have people from representation from all of the stakeholders. And also a big part of the think tank is to merge global south, global north, because obviously they've got quite different challenges when it comes to ESG. So in order for it to work, we may need to make sure there's a level playing field.
Gina, how did you get into this? Walk me through your career path. What was the moment where you said, yeah, supply chain, maritime, ESG, this is for me?
So maritime generally was by accident, as you may probably know from quite a few people. It's no surprise. Quite a few of us come into it by accident. Which comes on to another issue of how we don't really manage our narrative very well. But that's a different story. I was looking at options to do my master's degree, and I'm from Cyprus originally. And this visionary friend of my dad said, you know, why don't you look into maritime? Cyprus is quite an up-and-coming maritime hub. I looked at it. It sounds super interesting. International trade, piracy, super exciting stuff. So I went with that. And then a few years later, I just had the opportunity to build up the legal department in a shipowner company and never looked back. It was really love at first sight. Like I knew it when I first saw the interactive map of what goes on around the world when it comes to the wider maritime industry. ESG, I mentioned it a bit in my intro. It was a natural transition for me. I mean, I was into environmental policy law, very aligned with gender diversity, equality, advocating for these things in youth empowerment and talent, governance obviously being a big part of what I do. So everything kind of came under the ESG umbrella. So I knew it once I saw it that this is, you know, this is everything I've been lobbying for.
Got it. What do you like when you think of companies that are in the ESG space or companies that are getting started? Is there a standard playbook that you recommend? Is there a standard first set of steps a company should follow? And then the second question to this is, where do companies always trip and stub their toe? Where do companies always drop the ball in the first 30 days?
So there isn't a specific playbook. And that's, I think, a bit of the work that we'd want to do with the think tank. Especially for like industry specific, it's hard to find a guidance on what to apply. And even if you read the ESG reports, they're so different between them. I think what needs to be done, we are hoping to issue a structure actually of the main outline, like key things you need to put under your E, S and G pillar. But I think the main things that you need to be looking into, and I say this a lot, is what is the areas that you have the most impact as a company. The 17 sustainability development goals, but we can't all be working towards everything, right? So if a ship owner, for example, has the most influence over the oceans and keeping the oceans healthy with their actions, that should be top on your priority. If you're a supply chain services company, for example, and you're working in a specific community, local coastal community, the impact that you can have on that community can be huge. So I think it's identifying where do I have the most impact first. That's what you put as your top priority. And then you start looking at what you can do environmentally, socially, governance. And a big part of, I think, of all of this is also making sure you've got your message, your key messages right. So what you're saying. And so it's not just about acting, but also sharing those stories. And that, you know, inspires, but also getting the right stakeholders and partners engaged. So I think that's kind of where you need to start. And then there are people, and obviously, again, the work we're trying to do with the think tank that can support this journey, but it is very much a matter of individual companies assessing their scope of influence.
Got it. And Gina, what question haven't I asked you that I should have so far?
Actually, I just realized I never answered the second part of your question in the hurry of where do companies trip. And maybe I'll quickly answer that before we go into what you have answered, because I just thought about it now. I think where they trip is that there this overcomplication. So a lot of this consultants that come in, I try to overcomplicate things. So they get very drowned in everything that you're supposed to do. And they think, you know, we need to cut on travel. We need to do this. We need to do that. Again, just focusing on the things that you have most impact on. So I think that's where you need to, where they trip and what they, how they can manage that.
Sure. Sounds like a case of paralysis by analysis.
And it's very much, unfortunately, facilitated by a lot of, and I probably shouldn't be saying this on a podcast, but a lot of this newly pop-up expert consultants just, you know, they barely understand it themselves. So then when they're conveying it to the industry, it comes out as much more complicated. Also, another important thing that I always say is that as an industry, we're quite highly regulated. You know, we've been doing things the right way for a while. It's not, ESG isn't this foreign thing that came out of nowhere. It's just something that brings a better structure. I think it's just a matter of simplifying things.
Sure. Gina, one of the ideas behind this podcast is that we in supply chain, we in maritime absolutely suck at positioning what we do, especially for younger generations to think, wow, this is a great career. I've got this working theory that when you talk to a mechanical engineering student, they say, I'm going to build a robot. And there's only two places robots are in place. It's warehouses and ports. But none of those engineering kids say, ooh, let me go work in logistics. They say, I want to build a robot. On the ESG side, you know, same type of concept. If I'm a statistician or if I'm a math major who wants to, you know, tackle sustainability, it feels like there's a really great crossover between that major and the trucking space or that major in the maritime space. Am I missing the mark here?
I think personally, one of the things that's closest to my heart, and I say a lot, it's talent attraction retention. And I think we have a big problem as a sector at attracting the best brains and talent and also keeping them in the industry. And that's because we don't sell our story very well. And we do have a very interesting story to tell. It is a very purpose-driven industry. So I think that ticks the box, especially of a lot of the younger generation who want to be a part of that. But we need to transform our leadership styles. We need to transform the way we've learned to work to make sure that we're attracting and retaining talent. So I think ESG gives you that fantastic opportunity to change things on an environmental impact level, on a social level, and how you treat your people on board or onshore, offshore. And also, you know, put in those transparent governance structures that the new generations can really relate to and are looking to. So I think that's why I feel it's such an important topic and such an important opportunity, because we are the industry that makes the world go round. And if nobody wants to work for us in 5 years' time, that might be quite a bit of a problem.
The final question I ask every guest is, if you were to speak to somebody, because we're just talking about this, you know, what's the piece of advice you would give somebody considering a career in maritime, in supply chain, or even in sustainability?
I think you kind of touched on it. It's a super fascinating industry. There's so many career options, and literally whatever your interest is, you can probably find a really good career opportunity in this sector. So it does offer great potential there. I think what I would advise somebody interested in this sector is to try and understand it as much as they can. So podcasts like Hammer Down and many others who are available, talking to people who work in the industry. So networking events are also great. There's a few associations which are also tailored to young professionals, or I sit on the board of WISTA, which is for women in shipping. So reach out to these people, understand what we're about. That's the best way to learn about it. No book, no university can teach you what people of this industry can, because you can also pick up on the vibe. And I think it's one of the most purposeful industries. I said it earlier, we make the world go round. We literally do. We've proved it through COVID and through other difficult times. It's hard work. So it is a 24-hour industry and definitely not for everybody. But if you are looking for a very purpose-driven and fascinating career that makes a difference in how we live life every day, I think this is definitely the place to be. And then to younger people especially, because I know sometimes it's challenging, I've been there, done that, consistency and patience really is key, but really delving into the waters that you want to kind of explore before jumping on the boat.
Sure. Lots of maritime puns in that. That was terrific. If a listener or viewer wants to get in touch with you to learn more, either about the think tank or about your career path or about WISTA, what's the best way to find you?
They can find me on LinkedIn. So it's just my name, basically, Gina Panayotu. They can, you know, DM me there, or maybe if they reach out to you, I'm happy to share my email also. So yeah, there's many ways that they can find me. We should be also officially launching the website of the think tank next week. So World ESG Forum. So they can also find details there.
Gina, thank you so much for being a guest on Hammer Down. And to all the listeners, viewers, we appreciate you as always. Thanks, everybody.